Welcome to the Next Gen Agents Podcast with Malcolm Lawson. On this show, you'll learn the next gen strategies for the next generation of real estate agents. Today, we're talking with Jonathan Fisher, who runs the Fearless Realty Group here at Real Broker. Jonathan's a top 1% agent in his market of San Diego, which is a very competitive market, and has built his entire business and career off of social media and video. And today he's gonna give us a complete overview of his video strategy that he uses to stay in front of his sphere of influence and grow his business. Let's hop in. So Jonathan, let's just jump right into it. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got into the real estate industry in the first place, and what does your team look like today?
Yeah, so I run a team of 8 agents at the moment. We're really sphere and referral based. Mm-hmm. That's really our model. So I teach my team. I feel like my responsibilities are teaching them how to become business owners. So I teach them about corporations. I teach them about B2B, which is business to business, to network with financial planners, CPAs, divorce attorneys, probate attorneys, people that can refer them business. Working harder, not smarter. And then I teach them, since I'm very much sphere-based, I teach them how to set their systems and try to automate systems to stay top of mind to the people that actually care about them and want to see them succeed.
Yeah, I love that, man. And so you said you're sphere-based. And how do you tap into your sphere? What's your system, I guess, for doing like that? Have you kind of systematized that process of building those relationships?
Yeah, so the way I started was, it was very, very fucking uncomfortable, but just reaching out to everybody and what's your mailing address, what's your email, and when's your birthday?
Okay.
And so many people are haters, man. They'll tell me fuck off, or like, no, I don't want to give you that information. I'm like, dude, I've known you for like 8 years. Like,
and this is like your friends and family. And
yeah, for sure. It was only people that I knew. Yeah. Obviously, maybe some people from high school. When I got into the industry, I was already 28. I'm 35 now. Yeah. So maybe time had passed that I was reaching out to people that maybe I didn't talk to, but pretty much got contact information. So I created a direct mail list. So I don't believe in geographic farming. I believe in farming people that probably know you and want to see you succeed.
I love that.
And you're constantly editing it. I mean, you're taking people off. You're like, fucker didn't use me. What the hell? You know, like, I've been trying to stay top of mind, but that's going to happen. And to be transparent, it's happening more and more right now. Mm. I'm noticing, I'm sure older realtors have gone through this, but we start motivating, influencing the younger generation. And maybe one of our past clients, now their nephew or their son has their license now, and you start losing little pools of your clients, right? And I'm feeling that a lot more over the last year and a half.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, the industry is constantly evolving and changing. And yeah, you know, everybody see home values going up. I'm sure there's been a big influx of agents into the industry. And then, of course, then we had this bad past year, and we probably lost a lot of agents last year. Mm-hmm. As well. So I'm sure it just kind of ebbs and flows with, you know, a lot of competition like that. Well, I mean, you never know. Maybe the guy will do a bad job and he'll still reach out to you. Yeah. How big do you think your database is of just your database in general?
Yeah. So my database, I would say about 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Not too small. I would make the mistake of deleting people in the past, right? Trial and error. I was never on a team. I scaled myself just by maybe going to conferences or seeing people that I respected speak and just implement little by little. The problem with people is that they go to a conference, they have 10 ideas. I'm going to fucking do all 10, and they don't do any of them because they try to do them all at the same time.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. So for me was I started with the direct mail. Then at a very early stage of my career, I learned that you can do client events to stay top of mind, right? And in the beginning, you don't have many clients. So you invite your friends, you invite your family members. My parents go to every fucking happy hour till this day. And now every happy hour is at least 100 people. But wow. In the beginning, you wanted it to look busy. Maybe you only had 10 clients, but you invite your friends and family members. They're not going to know that who's who, right?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Okay, cool.
Well, God, this camera, man. Just having the issues with it.
So, yeah, direct mail, bi-monthly events. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many ways. What would I do in the beginning? And then social media, I took off with Instagram. I don't think I've ever been very strategic with it. Mm-hmm. It was me more posting and staying top of mind. And that was my strategy. Now I'm like reinventing my strategy. Because like I said, everybody knows 5 realtors nowadays. I mean, I'm in San Diego. So San Diego is one of the most competitive markets in the United States.
Yeah, well, that's a great segue, man. Let's talk about your social media strategy. Because yeah, I think you've got a great presence on Instagram, and like, you know, the quality of your videos, I think it looks fantastic. I'm always really impressed by the video quality. What exactly is your strategy on Instagram, and like what type of content do you create?
I like to be transparent with a lot of things. So some videos is just my journey talking about my limiting beliefs or limiting beliefs that I just uncovered, or see, that one's like self-improvement, things I've learned as an entrepreneur, you know, mm-hmm. as an investor. I own multiple properties, but I've also been fucked multiple times, right? So very unfortunate, but I'm glad that I've experienced it so my clients don't have to, right? So I'm just as transparent as it gets. You know, I curse, I have tattoos, but I am who I am. You see, what you see is what you get. You know, yeah. That's a lot of my content. I do educational stuff and whatnot, but I do think that I need to be a little more strategic. My strategy for the longest time was staying top of mind. But yeah, we're changing up a lot of things. I probably don't sound like someone that used to average personal production like 50 units a year, but I was pretty fortunate to really be one of the first people to start posting and just getting notice.
Yeah, man. No, I definitely believe it. I've known definitely some agents have built really big businesses all around their social media presence. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it may be. And so what's your process for creating one of these? Like, do you have a somebody else in the room with you that you're having a conversation with?
Sometimes there is someone and sometimes there isn't. Right there, I was talking to a team member.
Okay.
My strategy, I am busy. So if I'm going to create content, I just had my second baby, on Christmas Day, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like two weeks into December. I'm like, dude, I need to create content. I need to just pump it out. That way my plan was to stay at home and help my wife out for January. But, you know, that doesn't really happen. But I pumped out 24 pieces of content in one day.
Wow. Yeah.
I was in the zone. I brought a cooler. And I had a few beers, I had energy drinks, and I had waters.
Wow. Yeah, that's an entire month's worth of content right there, at least.
Yeah. So and
what type of topics do you talk about? Do you talk about like general real estate topics? You're talking about San Diego specifically, or are you just talking about like your personal life and just kind of more relationship type of stuff?
Yeah, I would say relationship based. I would say life experiences, entrepreneur experiences, and real estate. So just speaking with you makes me realize that I never create anything regarding San Diego specifically. Zero.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, but I've never, I guess I never had, not had the need, but I never went after my clientele has always been people that I somewhat know,
yeah,
or referrals. So it's very rare that I don't convert someone. If it's a referral, it's like this, we hit it off right away. Let's get to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's rare that I have to interview for the job.
That's interesting, man. So that's, it kind of plays a different role in your business. So like I come from the YouTube world and I used to make content about Maryland, and that's how people discover me, is that content. So the content was the top level of the sales funnel. How they discover me. For you, like, people already know you. They're already in your sales funnel. So it's more like the middle level of the sales funnel. You're just kind of keeping that relationship going. You're staying top of mind. You're staying, you know, kind of just in front of them more often. And that's really cool, because if you do that, then yeah, you can do whatever kind of content you want. Doesn't have to be about your city.
It has worked, but I think it's time for me to adapt, adapt to what's happening in the market.
Yeah. I mean, you've already, you've got the gear, you've got the experience on social media. It's just adding this extra bucket of content could be another pillar of, you know, leads into your business.
Yeah. Earlier we were talking about limiting beliefs, and
yeah,
that's a huge one for me, dude. Doing long form content, my respects to you, but thinking, am I that intelligent? Do I know how to speak so well to be able to, that people want to listen to me?
You speak well on your 1 minute long videos, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, and you got the camera, you're comfortable on camera, you're already doing it, you're 90% there. You just gotta talk for 10 minutes straight.
Man, I don't know if anybody wants to hear that, dude.
I think they do. If it's about San Diego, it's about moving to the area, definitely can see a lot of value in that.
And believe it or not, I'm full Mexican.
Yeah.
So I'm bilingual, I speak Spanish. A lot of people, based on my looks, wouldn't think that.
Yeah, man. Great. Tap into that community. You know, that could be another pillar of content right there. Mm-hmm. Talking about the Hispanic community. I mean, I'm not as familiar with Instagram, at least on YouTube, like how it works is you have pillars or buckets of content or series on your channel. And you just kind of make content each series and you kind of cycle through those. So occasionally making San Diego or maybe Hispanic content to tap into those communities, maybe a strategy for you. And so what is your daily routine as a real estate agent look like? Do you show up? Do you have a home office? Do you show up to a team office?
Yeah, well, things have changed quite a bit the last few months. I did have my own office space, but just with the market was slowing down, I had my second baby on the way. The first baby, I wasn't as involved, and I always felt a little guilty, so I really wanted to be more involved. So I decided to sublease my office. So now I have a home office for the first time in my life. So I'm working out of home. So everything's changed. Now I'm on dad duty.
Yeah.
By 6 a.m. I'm on dad duty. And I need to change my older son to go to school. Those weren't my responsibilities before. So I'm still adapting. If you would have asked me this maybe in a few months, my answer might be way cooler and sound like a top producing answer, but for right now, I'm going through it, man.
I mean, sounds like you have your priorities straight, right? Family comes first. Like it, you know, what always gets me is like for a lot of people, you ask them, what is their why in the business? And they'll say, well, my family is my why. Okay. Then why would you ever sacrifice time with your family for your business? You know, once you get to a comfortable enough level, you know, your family has to be number one. And you know, you're taking time away from your business for your family, which is what you should do. That's the right decision there.
I think it could be so many things to that. Fear of like, what happens if I don't pick up the call? What if I don't make the money? Or I think there's a lot of answers to that question. It's a loaded question, right? And every individual, it's if they want to change their priorities, they need to look in the mirror and figure out what's important to them.
Yeah, man. Well, being a new, you know, father or again, how do you manage the work-life balance challenge that we all go through?
How do I manage it? I'm like, it's been, I was in the weeds a little bit. That's
how my wife. You worked very well, huh? For a while there, huh?
I'm just used to working a lot, right? Yeah. Or doing before kids, you're used to working a lot and doing whatever the fuck you want, which is a beautiful life, right? And then you're like learning that once you have a kid, you're learning that now your life and your priorities are around the kid, and now going through it again, it's been a little more difficult than I anticipated. But how am I keeping the balance? I'm time blocking more than ever, for sure. Drop them off at school at 8:30. Now I probably have 5 hours of work to do. So am I choosing? Do I choose to go to the gym for an hour? But that's then I only have 4.5 hours of work, right? So every day kind of fluctuates depending on how many meetings. I'm also creating, building my downline, hour long Zoom calls. Not to mention, I'm still producing, so Zoom calls with clients or my team members. I'm a team lead, so we have weekly meetings. So it just depends on the day. I mean, every day is different, right? I have also noticed that now I am taking meetings at 6, 7 p.m. so that I can help in the morning with the family. So it's not very nice, but I'm just adapting right now.
Yeah,
right?
You got to do what you got to do. And sometimes you have these chapters in your life, and maybe you got to do this for 90, 120 days, you know, maybe a full year of kind of grinding it out like this. Yeah. And you can go back into a more efficient model. I'm with you, man. I dropped my kid off at school and I got 5 hours until I have to go pick him back up. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, I realized what is the most important thing I'm going to be doing. It's video calls with real estate agents. I set a goal to try to get 5 video calls in those 5 hours that I have between dropping my kid off and going back and picking him up. And yeah, it's tough. It's a challenge, but you know, the rewards can be pretty good if you can figure it out.
Are people reaching out to you, or are you like farming agents? What's your strategy on building your rev share?
Yeah, man. People reach out to me. Content creation. And so for me, there's 3 video calls that I do. One is agents interested in real broker. They reach out to me. It's like, great, let's hop on a video call. I try to do video calls with my downline. If anybody's interested, see if I can provide some value, help them out, give them some coaching or something. And then trying to do interviews like this with agents and make content out of it. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the three types that I try to do. And my goal is 5 a day, so 25 a week. I'm not there yet. I'm at like 10 to 15 a week right now, but I'm trying to ramp that up in 2024.
I think you'll get there. During your calls, what do you go over? I actually created a real PowerPoint that I'm going to email you after. And I'm pretty damn proud of it, actually.
Yeah. So, I mean, with like my agent attraction calls into Real, a lot of times they've watched my videos already. And so they already know all the stats and numbers. And so I tell them, hey, tell me about your business. Where are you at in your real estate career? Great. What are your goals? Where do you want to go in your real estate career? And then I kind of pivot the conversation based on that. And then a lot of times I just answer their questions. Say, great, man, what questions do you have? Let's where do you want me to take this conversation? And so it's very conversational. It's not a slideshow presentation. It's not a hard sale pitch or anything like that. I just kind of have conversations with folks about Real and see if it's a good fit for them or not.
Do you ever share your transparency and just share your screen? This is how many people I have in my network. This is how it works. And look, I'm not lying. This is what you can make. And then look at the stocks were worth this much. This is how much I have. This is what you get for attraction. This is what you get for capping, just for doing your job, right?
Yeah.
You go over that stuff?
Yeah. I show them all my stats and everything if the conversation goes in that direction. Mm-hmm. You know, the majority of agents, though, they're not really interested in rev share. That's not why they join Real. You know, they're joining for the community or the culture. But the ones that are interested in rev share, I'm trying to be as transparent as I can. Be like, look, man, I've been with the company 3 years. This is where I'm at right now. And yeah, that's pretty effective. And I like being able to share my screen, show them the technology, show them Real Academy, all that good stuff. And so, yeah, me hopping on video calls with agents, right? That's my goal for 2024. What's something that you're focused on in 2024 inside your business, other than work-life balance? obviously.
We definitely want to close 100 transactions. We want to help 100 families. That, like, we have yet to do that. 2 years ago, we were at 80 families. That's the closest we've been. So we want, we will close over 100 transactions.
Yeah.
That's one of the goals. And also, I want to hopefully by the end of by the end of the year, hopefully I do want to be making about $10,000 a month passive income on the ref share.
I love it, man. It's, yeah, it's totally possible. You know, it's a hell of an opportunity, mm-hmm, for us right now. And so let me ask you, if you could go back 8 years and give your younger self a piece of advice, mm-hmm, what advice would you give yourself getting into this business?
Getting into this business, reach out to, look up, I would say look up different agents that you can vibe with or that you look up to and try to work under them. Okay. I never joined a team. And I think that even though I scaled really fast, I think I also have had a lot of trials and errors. I credited so much money my first few years in the industry, based on, for mistakes or whatever it was. So I would definitely find the right mentor and someone that not only is going to teach me in the business, but teach me, I guess, how to become a man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 28 years old, but like there's different levels to our lives, right? That we go through. And once you start making money, having a mentor to teach you how to maybe invest or how to protect your assets, stuff like that, I think is a very, would have been a very good decision.
Yeah. And so do you play that role for the agents on your team now? I do. Try to be a mentor to them. And
I absolutely do. Yeah. I think that's where I can't provide leads, like bigger teams, but what I can provide is learning how to be a business owner, how to keep your money, and how to invest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All great, you know, all great skills to develop. So let me ask you this. Do you have any recommendations for a book or a podcast for like personal or business development that you really like and that you'd recommend to folks?
There's a few. Two of my favorite books, Atomic Habits.
Yes.
Is a great one.
Yeah.
And The Subtle Art of, is it?
Yep. Yep. Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait. Is that one or Unfuck Yourself?
One of the fucking ones.
Unfuck Yourself. It's Unfuck Yourself, right?
I haven't read that one. There's one called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I think I read both of them, but it's Unfuck Yourself.
Okay.
And is it? Fucking, now I need to look. Do you mind?
Don't worry about it. Tell me about Atomic Habits. Why do you recommend that book to folks?
That one and Rich Dad Poor Dad for sure.
Yeah.
Actually, let's go with Rich Dad Poor Dad. That one is my favorite book. That one is because, just going back to limiting beliefs, I think so many of us have this relationship with money, and if we have it or we don't. And I think Rich Dad Poor Dad teaches you, I guess, opens your eyes and gives you the option. Do you want to continue these habits and be the poor dad, or do you want to learn how to leverage and allow your money to work for you? Things that possibly our parents didn't teach us, because maybe they didn't know, you know. And that's something that I'm very passionate about. I want to change the trajectory of my family tree.
Yeah, generational wealth.
Generational wealth, legacy.
There's an opportunity for it right now. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great book. I love Robert Kiyosaki. Cash Flow Quadrant is also a really great book. He's a bit of a kook these days. Yeah. but nonetheless,
he's full of himself, man.
There's a couple of like core books, man. Rich Dad Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant, and even his cash flow board game that he had years ago. They're all packed full of value. And I love Atomic Habits. That book has a special place in my heart. Like I've really suffered with depression on and off for years now. And I've tried all kinds of things to try to get out of that. And that book got me out of it, man. Mm-hmm. Like focusing, what I realized was focusing on your daily habits. And I had daily habits that were just contributing to my depression. And once I started getting daily habits of being active and socializing and eating healthy and going to sleep early time and waking up an early time and being productive, all that stuff like completely changed me. And yeah, your habits, man, like that, you know, that's huge. That's who you are. And it's who your business is as well. Your business habits are incredibly important to how your business is run as well. But all right, man, look, I really appreciate your time. I got some real value out of this conversation, dude. And I'll be seeing you at the Rise Conference, I'm sure, this year.